we are starting a new sermon series that will carry us to when we start the new Christian year into Advent. That will end on November 20th with a healing service. And until then, we're going to talk about that we gotta have heart in a world that can be cruel, in a world that can be angry, and the last thing you want to do is be vulnerable and show your heart. But as Christians, as believers, that's how they'll know we're the disciples of Jesus, is by showing love. So in a world that's trying to have you close up, to be distracted, to be discouraged, I'm going to invite you to continue that you got to have heart. And one of the ways we will be celebrating this sermon series is maybe you noticed our plentiful display back there. If you were to go back there, you would see some leaves and pens. I want you to remember in this season that we serve a living God who leaves you loving reminders that you are still so important. It might be the timeliness of a song. Ron knew some of the topics I was going to cover, but he had no idea that the sermon today would be titled Grit. And where does clay come from? It's the smoothing out of that powdery grit into a beautiful sculpture. Timeliness. How the Holy Spirit can just show up. And that's what I encourage you to see these next 6 weeks. That when you get a leave of a loving reminder, to share it. They are small leaves, so if you come across some that you want to tell a little more of a story, please, your leave is welcome in this Thanksgiving. But also if it's just a word and you know what that means, or a little picture, or even an anonymous leaf just to remind us. It could be a simple, loving call. It could be an actual answered prayer. It could be a beautiful sunrise or sunset. It might be the turning of the leaves on your drive. I am a northern girl. I used to love summer, but you southerners do summer awful. It is hot and humid. I do not enjoy being out. If there is any chance of a three-digit day, I am not going out. But your fall, I do love your autumns here, especially at the foothills. Ugh, if you ever get a chance to just drive a little north, catch any of those mountains, that is spectacular. That is one of those God moments for me. I know you all get to see it, but I just go, oh God, I think you painted those leaves for me today. Those are the reminders God leaves us. And I want you to be intentional in seeking those out. So there's also leaves on the way out. If you want to grab a pen and some leaves, in case you're one of those people who are like, I will forget this moment. I want you to be looking for God everywhere. And if God shows up and you recognize it, please share it with us. And there will be a couple Sundays that I will open up for you to share that, because maybe you can't capture it on a leaf, but could in words. I think it's so important to share that. Gotta have heart. And today's sermon title is Grit. So if you would please join me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I really want to highlight that verse, so we're going to just start that one over again in case we're just turning on our listening ears, because I think this one's important. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Gotta have heart. And she told us we needed to be vulnerable. And then she told us the sermon's about grit. And when we think of grit, that's not usually a soft substance, right?
Amen.
But it can be. How many of you think of our beautiful beaches when you think of the word gritty? Right?
Yeah.
That soft, warm sand. How it's a day of fun. And then you bring the beach home with you, right? Because the grit stuck everywhere. And if you have any of those like camping chairs, I have no idea. It's like you picked up a scoop on the way out, because the next time you go use it, you have half the beach just dropping out. And then all of a sudden, what was beautiful is a mess. That grit that stuck. But isn't there a little bit of a moment too? Wow, we had such a good time at the beach. And if you get there kind of early in the day or kind of at the end of the night, most of the families have gone. How peaceful and beautiful.
Amen.
That waves kind of lapping up. That is, that's one of my favorites. I think what God does with water is stunning. That's a loving reminder for me. Another time that we have grit, people, we are in the South. I know some of you might have had grits this morning. I will tell you, we did not have that up north. I will say you guys do that very well as well. That it's this yummy goodness, but you gotta cook it. Because at first, it's just that gritty texture. You're going to have grit in this world, because the world's going to throw a lot back at you. And it's going to take some of that soft edge that when we find Jesus and we're all, when we find that Holy Spirit, right, we are glowing. We are feeling the light. We are feeling the kindness. And then the world hits you. And all that glow and luster and light and softness wants to turn hard or disappear. There used to be a psychological response. They said, instinctually, when you are met with a trauma, when you are met with a crisis, you will fight or flight. You will become aggressive or you will escape and run away. But life has a way that it's always not clean cut. So they're like, there is the fight, there is the flight response, but there's also two more that we're recognizing. There's the freeze, where we go numb, where we don't have an answer, we don't want to feel, we don't want to acknowledge that this is happening, or fawning, where we become overly praising. If you were in a hostile situation and there's a bully, or worse, and all you want to do is just praise them like, you are wonderful, you are great, and all you are doing is trying to survive and get out of the situation. life gets complicated. And you have to remember this world was not built for Christian welcome. But we can show our Christian belief. We know that there's a better tomorrow. We are here to serve and to help those who don't know that, who are having trouble having faith in a world that's harsh, who doesn't see the beauty of hope. And sometimes we like to say that hate is the opposite of love, but that's not true. It's the indifference. Because if you shut yourself off from the world and not participating, you're not helping. You're not serving. You're not living when we close off. And I know that's tempting. I am a freeze person. If you overwhelm my circuits, I will just want to close up. I get the clam reference. Oh, what does a clam do? It gets that grit and makes a pearl. That even in a shutdown mode, the clam is still participating. Are there times you need to pull back and renew? Absolutely. But how do we do that? How do we continue to have grit, be a Christian in this world? Well, if you were paying attention exactly to how that was written, G-R-I-T. You need to start from a place of grace to recognize the world around you so that you can be intentional in serving God with tenacity. Well, look at that. Grace, recognition, intention, tenacity. You have to start in a place of grace. As a Christian, you are human. I understand. If somebody puts their dukes up, you want to sometimes too. That fight response. Now, I believe a lot of you have my temperament and personality. You can throw a lot at me and I can still be pretty patient. Oof. But if you were to go after my husband or my son, oh, my mama bear claws will come out like nobody's business and I will have to ask forgiveness. But that's why we have to go back to that place of grace. To remember people are coming from a place we don't know, we don't understand. And denominations, the biggest difference is often how we view the sacraments. That we all believe in Jesus Christ, and then the nitty-gritty details, it's often in sacraments. Baptism and communion is the one that most of us recognize. There are some Orthodox and Catholic who have other sacraments that we would see as holy moments, holy milestones, holy services, perhaps. Why do I point this out to you? Two things. We argue on baptism often in that Acts 16, where Lydia and her family are baptized. For instance, us Methodists, we believe in infant baptism. And we see Lydia and her whole household were baptized. So we believe that could be every person in the family at any age. There are other denominations who believe baptism can only be a believer's baptism, that the person has to be old enough to be baptized by their own will. And they use the exact same verse. So when we say read the Bible, know the Bible, we still might interpret it differently. Yeah. So let us have some grace in acknowledging there might be differences. Also, grace, the Methodists do it best. This was one of Wesley's passions, was to really discuss grace, to really dissect grace. And many of you I know have probably heard about some discord and some disagreement going on in our denomination. We will have some future discussions where we can have the understanding what different sides are saying. But one of the things as Methodists we get to claim and be proud of is this beauty and message of grace. Amen. That John Wesley told us about, prevenient, that grace that comes before even we recognize God, that God loves us, that God loves everyone. So if anyone's ever in doubt, well, does God love the non-believer? Absolutely. Absolutely. Prevenient grace. And then we go to what's called justifying grace. And this is when you recognize the relationship too. This is when you say, I'm a believer because I believe. That's the justifying grace moment. Sanctifying grace is that taking that grace and putting it into action, which we're all called to do. Striving towards excellence. And glorifying grace is that after. When we know what we don't know now, when we are amongst paradise, the glorifying grace. How do we learn about grace? How do we know if we are exhibiting grace? I encourage you to go to Galatians 5, 22 through 24, where we hear of the fruit of the Spirit. Is that evident in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If you are starting from a place of grace, if you are living a life full of grace, this should be evident in your life. Why is grace so important? The Bible says it 124 different instances. 10 of them in the Old Testament. 114 times grace is mentioned in the New Testament. 80 of those times in Paul's letters. That's how important this message was, to share God's grace, to offer that, to help others recognize it. I promise you, a discussion that starts from grace is going to be very different than a discussion that started without it or recognition of it. If you want some scripture about grace, John 1, 16, 17. To sum that up, grace upon grace. In 1 Peter 5, 10, or the generosity that God provides us, James 1, 17. Every good and perfect thing comes from above, the Father of the heavenly lights. Amen. Grace. Might sound like a funny place to start with grit, but if you're gonna have heart and share that with the world, start from a place of grace. R, recognition, awareness. Whew. That judge had very little awareness, right? I called him a jerk in the first sermon, and then I realized that was not coming from a place of grace. So we will call the judge unkind or unjust, which then that becomes an oxymoron, because the whole thing we want from a judge is just, to be just, to have justice, fairness, to hear the parties and help come to a solution. But this judge's mind was set and made up when this widow, who had an adversary, I don't know if you've had a nemesis, a bully, an adversary in your life, from childhood, in the classroom, to in your workplace, to maybe in your family, maybe a neighbor, who will go out of their way to destruct your life. And you have no idea why. That's unjust. Amen. If you have been against someone who is prejudiced, who falls in any of those categories of is, that is judging before they ever get to know a person, but because of a category, just spews hate. who goes out of their way to create obstacles, whether it's from a place of fear or anger or just cuz. That's what this poor widow was against. And she was asking the judge to intervene, to hear her out, to help her. And the judge was like, nah, I do not fear God, and I don't really like people, and I'm going to do whatever I want, and dismiss this person. Remember how we talked last week that raucous, spewing hate, calling someone worthless, was what the Bible used as the example of just, pure wrong. That's what the judge was dismissing this widow before even the widow could come in front of the judge. The widow was seeking justice, was looking for a fair deal. So this widow became persistent. She was intentional and tenacious and went after this judge day and night. You will hear me out. I will not give up this fight. Have you ever gotten tired in the middle of a fight? You might have been all fired up. Maybe it was something injustice you saw. Maybe you were fighting on the behalf of a loved one. But you're going to have true intention. You're going to have to know why you're fighting. Because people tire out. And that's why we got to start with grace. Is this a place for God? Am I fighting on God's behalf? Am I fighting on the behalf of a brother and sister and it being for a just reason? Or is it just something I want? Because if it's just something you want, you're going to tire out. And that's just a fight that you can't win. But when you have God on your side, you're going to find that extra oomph. Amen. To push through. So you've got to recognize, why am I fighting this fight? And then be intentional. Is this for God? Is this for me? And then be tenacious if it is for God. So an example I give that I see often in my life is I have quite a few friends who are parents of children with special needs. They have to truly be their child's advocate day in, day out. That they will be approved for services, and then they have to fight for every hour to get that help. They have to fight for every dime and nickel that a group of people sat down and said, this is what is best for your child, this is what we think can help, there are these services available, and then they still have to go to meeting after meeting, call after call to get those services. I promise you, I have had more than one phone call where they have said, all I want to do is crawl into bed and put the blanket over my head. But it's for their child. So day in, day out, they get up, they do the research, and they fight another day. And sometimes they realize, I'm not even fighting for my own child at this point. I'm fighting for the parents who will have to come after me, who will fight for their child. There are countless examples of injustice like that. It is not easy to be tenacious in a world that wants to shut down the good. But if you are truly doing it with the intention of serving God and serving God's people, you're fighting the good fight. And that widow, who had a judge completely against her, finally was heard. That's all the widow ever wanted, was to be heard. And why she repeatedly knocked on that judge's door, repeatedly sought the judge out to hear her out. And she was rewarded. Oh, and the judge still has not had his heart won over. He's like, I still don't fear God. and I still don't like people. But this widow won't stop bothering me. So I'm gonna say yes to basically make her go away, so she'll stop bothering me. That was in this translation. There are several translations that he's actually worried about basically the recourse, that I'm just gonna keep making her mad until she comes after me. Still not from a place of grace. Still not even from a place of fairness. But God still was on the widow's side and allowed her to be heard. Some of you have fought a good fight and grown tired, grown weary, overburdened. God is still listening, and God is fighting on your behalf. That's why we have to link arms, because this world's not for you. It's going to feel like you're going against a mountain, because you are. You are God's people. And this isn't our ground. We're here. We have lessons to share and lessons to learn. But we know we're on our way to paradise. But our job here is to share that knowledge, to share that grace, to help those who are facing injustice day in and day out, to help their voice be heard. Amen. And that's going to take some grace. It's going to take recognition that there's things happening outside your circle, recognizing where God is present, recognizing where others have needs. That intention of service. And then to be tenacious. To fight the good fight. That's why we all, if we're going to have heart, we have to have a little grit. Amen. I again encourage you this week, these upcoming weeks, chase God. Seek God out in your day. Where is God leaving you loving reminders? Perhaps it is a reminder to serve, a call upon your heart. Maybe it is just a beautiful display to refresh and renew your spirit in a world that's tiring you out. Maybe it's just a moment to connect and remind you you are not alone. Please join me in prayer. God, help us to connect to you. Whether that's through prayer, whether that's through scripture, or a holy conversation with a friend, a reminder of the importance of relationship. God, it could be the beauty of a song that comes on the radio. It could just be in that silence, in that breath that you gave us. God, let us seek you out because we know you are coming back. And God, we want to recognize you the instant you are here, by voice, by sight, by just recognition. God, help us to go into this world full of grace that you give us, to recognize you and others, to be intentional in our serving, and to be tenacious when we are fighting the good fight. In your precious and holy name, Amen.